Well, perceptive listeners will know those are themes from The Phantom of the Opera, which begins its two-week run at Miller Auditorium tonight. And here on WMUK, we are about to preview the production of Andrew Lloyd Webber's record-smashing musical. It returns to West Michigan with a new touring production, which, as I said, opens tonight and runs through February 17th. Not only does it feature new scenic design, costumes, lighting, choreography, and staging, it has a lavish cast and orchestra of over 50 people, two of whom are with me here this morning on WMUK. One is resident director Max Quinlan, who hails from the Chicago area. Hello, Max.
Hello.
And soprano Eva Tavares, who sings the lead role of Kristen Dye. So nice to have you here, Eva.
Thank you so much.
Well, well, well. This is such a huge show. I hardly know where to begin.
Yeah.
I imagine you are both, like, it's part of your DNA at this point. Mm-hmm. But would you maybe take us listeners back into how a new touring production gets started? And is this residency here in Kalamazoo one part of the beginning of the tour? Or have you already been all over the world?
Sure.
Or what's going on?
I mean, the tour has been going now for, what, 6 years?
Yeah, we're in our sixth
yeah.
year.
Yeah, I've been on it for about a year and 8 months, I guess, now.
We actually joined together.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been I'm nearing my 400th show on tour myself. Yeah.
What does that mean to you? I mean, how does that even, how can you believe that?
It is very insane. but the cool thing is that Max, you were there when I was put in the show. I feel like it's changed so much. I mean, I've grown so much over the process of being here and going to all these different cities. So it feels different, but the same. I think I said that earlier too. It really does. And because we're always switching cities and switching locales and theaters and the audiences, and also our cast has changed so much even since I've been here, you know, you're adapting and so it changes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And Max, mm-hmm. I thought that the usual way things went was a director would prepare the piece and then walk away as
sure.
as the production kind of did its thing over the weekend or two weekends in which it ran. Okay, so so as resident director, how do you stay involved and what are your duties?
Yeah, so because the show is in its sixth year, it is very different from normal productions where it is a weekend or a short thing and the director gets to walk away and be like, oh, I did my job and yeah. it was a success and pat on the back. our show keeps going and our show needs to feel fresh and it needs to be exciting and it needs to be as wonderful as it was at the start. And so part of my job is to make sure that the creative vision for the piece stays on track and stays integral and that we are always doing our best and delivering the best show that we can to audiences every single night. So that's one of my main jobs with the show. And then also I put all the new company members into the production. So everybody who's brand new who comes out while we are continuing to run, I'm their director during the day and we'll rehearse them and teach them their show and put them into the show. And the interesting thing about that is most people don't know when a brand new company member is making a debut in a company mm-hmm. that's been on the road for such a long time. Mm-hmm. And if they don't know,
seamless.
That means that
right.
I've done my job.
That's
yeah.
Right. yeah.
So that's our goal. And that's kind of what my my priority is out here.
What led you toward directing and being part of a company in this role?
Yeah, so I've been a part of theater since as long as I can remember, honestly. And I started as a performer and kind of always knew that I wanted to be a director. Every time that I would go and see shows, I was always looking at it from a visual standpoint and a dramatic standpoint and not really seeing myself in it. I was more seeing how I could help tell the story better. And also I love working with actors. I love guiding people through developing a character and discovering it for themselves and bringing what they have as individuals to a piece. And that's kind of the beauty of this show is that, you know, our new production of it, which can only be seen on this tour, this version, it's a brand new life that we've gifted to this brilliant material that's been around for such a long time.
Did this open? This was 86?
On Broadway, it's 31 years. Just celebrated its 31st year anniversary. It's the longest running Broadway musical, and there's a good reason for it. You know, the music is absolutely iconic. It is a stunning story, and it deals with things that are so human and so beautiful and heartbreaking, and it takes you through such a journey, especially with Eva's character, with Christine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really get to see someone become an adult on stage.
Yeah.
And learn to be an independent human and stand on their own two feet and deal with the difficulties that life throws you. And boy, does her life throw her some difficulties, which is what makes it so special.
Yeah.
Briefly, I just wanted to circle back to the fact that it's a refreshing of this particular approach to Phantom of the Opera, but... Mm-hmm. An anecdote, our office associate has seen it 6 times.
Oh my gosh.
Including in London, I believe, and is very excited to see it once again because it is rewatchable to the extreme.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's marketed as the spectacular new production, and really that is because, you know, we have tools at our disposal now as far as technology goes that 31 years ago they did not have. So our special effects are different. Our sets are different. But it's also important to note that, of course, the story and the music and even the costumes are the same as the brilliant original.
Yeah, you could say there's actually been a couple of revolutions in theater itself since 1986.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just a few.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, new performers, new cast, bringing new sensibility to the pieces. Mm. Now, the story of the Phantom of the Opera has very 19th century romantic elements to it. People doing everything for love. Mm. It doesn't seem like it plays as well in our somewhat cynical age of the 21st century.
Right.
Is that a challenge, do you think, for you? Or is there other challenges that I haven't thought of?
Yeah,
I mean, I think that there's some things that's so pure about this piece. And also, when you see the love that some of these characters experience, and there's love for many different things. There's love for an opera company. Mm-hmm. There's love for music. Mm-hmm. There's love for another human. There's love for a father, there's love for a daughter, there's love that goes beyond just the romance, I think, that people associate with the tale.
Yeah.
And so there are different ways that it's expressed throughout the show. And also, it's really pure and honest. I mean, the fact that, yes, I think that it's an easy thing to look at a relationship that is represented in that time and go, oh, that's false. People don't fall in love like that anymore. Or people don't just, it's not as easy to say, I'll do anything for you. Mm-hmm. But people do that all the time. It's, you know, that's still a reality. And also, it's young love. And young love is so innocent, and you don't know how difficult things are going to be. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to make those promises that are grand and are these huge gestures that might seem false, but in the moment is so honest and pure.
Mm-hmm. The music only helps.
Yeah, exactly.
I think for me, the biggest thing as far as like the 21st century versus 19th century, you know, perceptions and all of that. I think the biggest thing for me is just to make Christine definitely not be a victim. You know, specifically in our production, our director, Lawrence Connor, who's in the UK, he really encouraged us, and obviously Max and everyone else who's involved, encourages us to really find the human qualities and the grounded human elements of our character. And for me specifically, as Max mentioned, she has such a growth into adulthood and finding her strength and her footing in a world that is constantly changing and throwing her all kinds of curveballs. Yeah.
Let me refresh listeners, or try to, with the basic outline of the story. Your character, Eva, is a young singer at an opera company which has its own prima donna, and suddenly things start to happen to the prima donna, right? A series of unfortunate accidents.
That's right, yeah.
That's right.
At the same time, you have a strange ghostly coach, in a way.
That's right.
This seemingly supportive presence that has taught you to become an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she actually starts out as a member of the corps de ballet, as a dancer. She's been orphaned. You know, her dad has passed away. And she always had music in her life. And her father actually told her right before he died, you know, you're always going to be protected because I will send the angel of music to you. Which, when someone starts speaking to her through the walls, she takes that literally, when maybe he didn't mean it that way.
As you said, you would believe it as if you're a child.
Exactly, right. Yeah. She has a lot of innocence, especially at the beginning. So when she takes over as the diva, it just so happens that at that time, one of her childhood loves, Raoul, comes back into the picture as a benefactor for the opera house. And when the Phantom, who is obviously watching her every move, sees that this other man is coming into play, he gets very defensive and takes her down to the lair and reminds her of, you know, their connection and the love they share for music. And then, of course, it gets very complicated from then on.
It does. Yeah. It does. I mean, he really has a dark side.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the biggest thing with her is she sees past the facade, the violence and the anger that he shows on the outside. She sees the love he has and the kind soul he has underneath that. But, I mean, he's kind of a product of his circumstances. He hasn't really been shown love. And so she has a lot of empathy for him because she knows that. It's a complex relationship.
Could I hear about who's playing the Phantom tonight in this run, as well as your Raoul?
Yeah. So tonight it will be Quentin Oliver Lee, who's our Phantom on tour. He is wonderful. And tonight our Raoul is going to be Michael Malliakel, who is his first night as Raoul.
He's making his debut.
That's right.
So I just put him into
the
show.
That's right.
Last
it's very
week,
exciting.
And he makes his debut tonight.
Yeah.
But if those of you who aren't hearing this interview won't even know.
That's right.
It's everyone's debut.
That's right. And we have this week is special because we get two of the Raoul understudies coming on because our Raoul, who normally plays the role, Jordan Craig, is away on vacation.
Well, good for him.
So, yeah. So, yeah, but it's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, Max, you've got a new actor to put into a show. How much time do you schedule for that? Like 12 weeks, 8 weeks?
Oh, no.
It would seem that way, wouldn't it? So usually we do 2 weeks with
two
a brand new person who's
weeks.
Coming into the show. And not even really a full 2 weeks sometimes. It's it's a very condensed rehearsal process.
Yep.
And so when we're bringing somebody new out, we make contact with them as soon as possible and send them the script and the score and basically tell them to be as familiar as possible before they arrive, because the process will be very quick. And as we've mentioned, our show is quite a large production. So not only is it about learning your lines and learning what you do on stage, it's about the backstage, which is immense.
Mm-hmm.
And so understanding the physical show as it lives on stage and off stage is a really important thing. And it's something that I try and give everybody as all the tools necessary in order for them to seamlessly fit into our very well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
We do a two-week process usually, and that will start with somebody. We, you know, do table work right at the beginning, and I kind of give them a history on the production and really start at the beginning. I mean, everyone who comes onto the show, my goal is to give them their own process and to make them feel as a part of this as anybody else who's ever stepped on that stage, because, you know, as actors, especially in a show, you want to and should have ownership over what you do, and no two people are alike. So you're not being asked to like come in and do exactly what someone else did before you, nor are you asked to do what the person does that you understudy. You know, it's about developing the show for you and finding that story and finding how you connect to it and finding how I connect to the way that you're telling it. And we kind of guide them through it from that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You are fortunate, Max, I think, in that you're dealing with a really elite group of performers.
Absolutely. I'm very aware of that.
My admiration for music theater performers has grown immensely over the years because of the training. They study movement, they study acting, they study voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you must have become quite an appreciator of people.
Oh, absolutely,
And people at the top of their game.
Yes. I mean, I'm extremely inspired by talent, and also having performed when I was younger and appreciating what it is to do this, yeah. I really have such a love for actors and get inspired by new people all the time. And that's kind of my favorite thing. I mean, I love talking about character. I love talking about story. I love developing this show and thinking about it in so many ways that I've probably thought about this show in ways that, like, no one should ever think about it, just because I've had the luxury of being in the position to do so, which is really fortunate. And you know, I mean, how often do you get to live with a piece like this that is so iconic? But I really get to think about it in such an honest human way that I don't know that a lot of people have been able to do that. So I feel kind of honored to look at this story that way, and also to work with so many talented actors.
I know on the flip side, we all really appreciate that he has been on the other side as an actor, because yeah. we can talk to him about things that a lot of people wouldn't understand.
Shared
language.
And he
knows exactly yes. what to say. Yeah,
100%.
It's very
yeah.
valuable.
I've gone too many minutes without mentioning to our listeners that my guests are Max Quinlan, the resident director of Phantom of the Opera and the star of Phantom of the Opera, Eva Tavares. And the production opens tonight. You mm-hmm. can also see it all the way through February 17th in Miller Auditorium. Tickets available through the Miller Auditorium box office. That's 387-2300 or online at millerauditorium.com. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, Max, and ask if there is a moment in the show where your heart fills with what Eva is doing with this role, if there's a particular moment where she, you know, overwhelms you a little.
Well, now I'm interested.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's, first off, I think it's multiple moments. And secondly, I would say that it has changed, because yeah. as Eva has said, like, we've both been with the show almost the exact same amount of time. Mm-hmm. And the growth that I've seen in her performance has been something stunning and wonderful to be able to watch.
Oh, thanks.
And yeah. And so I would say currently my favorite moment of her show, let me think about it, because I think that at the beginning when we started rehearsals, my favorite thing about Eva was her fearlessness, because I've rarely met people like Eva who is this fearless in real life. And it's so wonderful for Christine to have that energy. So at the beginning, I think when she started, that was my favorite thing, was that right out of the gate, you were so captivated by this person who you just wanted to root for. And so at the beginning of her show, I think that was the thing that I connected to the most. And now I think the thing that I love the most is her the relationship that she has with her father, actually.
Mm.
That's kind of it's a interesting thing that is present in her show the entire time. And I think it's something that there's a moment in the show that it's very highlighted in a song. But I think with Eva's Christine, you can feel her father's presence in the entire production.
Cool. Thanks.
Eva likes
I
to
love
hear
that.
That.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, we're always trying to make sure that we're doing better, that we're serving the piece better, but we very rarely talk about what's going right, I feel. Do you know what I mean?
That is kind of true.
I mean, you're actually really good at acknowledging when things are going right, but having yeah. that laid out was very nice.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
we have to talk about Canada.
Canada! Yay! I love Canada.
We have to.
We do. Okay. Come on.
You grew up in Vancouver?
I did. Well, what, yes. I say Vancouver, but yeah. around Vancouver, yeah.
Okay. What got you into music theater?
So, like Christine, it's funny actually seeing the parallels. I actually started as a dancer, 2.5 in baby ballet classes and all of that. And I actually thought I was going to be a dancer. I was really into modern and contemporary dance, and I was competing and choreographing through my entire life, really. And then it's a funny story, but my grandmother, my mom's mom, is an opera singer, a mezzo-soprano. And so my entire life, she was saying, okay, dance is great, but maybe you should take a singing lesson. Hmm. And I, of course, you don't listen to your grandmother. So I auditioned to get into a fine arts school, and I was wanting to do some choir stuff, and I auditioned for choir, and my music director there said, I think you should get some singing lessons. And I thought, oh, okay, sure, if you're saying it, that sounds great. So I did, and very quickly I started to see, you know, myself winning a bunch of competitions. I went to provincials, I think my first year of singing lessons, and it was kind of shocking. And so slowly but surely, I mean, I was dancing. I mean, I was a crazy person in high school. I was doing 20 hours of dance a week and singing lessons and competitions and the head of, you know, five different school clubs, because that's who I am. But then when I finished high school, I thought, well, maybe I should do, continue the singing training. So I did a bachelor's degree of opera at UBC, which is University of British Columbia in Vancouver. And so it was kind of a crazy journey to get where I was going. But then ultimately I knew, even though I was doing an opera degree, I knew that musical theater was in my cards. Yeah. Because I had the dancing training and then did the singing. And then after I graduated from university, I did a bunch of acting training. So then it kind of all tallied up.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. It's crazy.
And then you were cast in some major pieces. Like, what were some of your favorite roles before?
Oh my gosh. I have a very, very fond place in my heart for Maria in West Side Story.
Oh.
It's my, I think it's probably one of the closest things to a perfect show. I mean, that music is just the best. I could listen to it all the time. I really could. And singing it is, and the story, I mean, it was a really special production I did. It was at the Citadel Theater in Edmonton, Alberta. And they had put a cast together, and then they paid for us to train for a month in Banff, which, for anyone who knows where Banff is, it's in Alberta. It's in the Rockies. You are surrounded by mountains. It is a very special place, and they have an art center there. And they pay for your housing, they pay for your food, and they just allow you to really knuckle down and focus on your craft. And so our cast got very tight. And then we went and did the show, where, you know, it's all about family and all about connections and ties to each other. And it really colored.
A tragedy.
Well, yeah. But I mean, but we went into that show, you know, the Jets were the Jets and the Sharks were the Sharks. We had a really, our director, Bob Baker, he had a really interesting, he had us do something very interesting, which was the first day of rehearsal, he had us improv the dance of the gym. He put on music and he said, okay, you guys are the Sharks, you guys are the Jets, obviously, you know your parts. And he would come around and whisper things in people's ears saying, okay, now someone said something. What does that trickle down to? You know, and it was crazy. I think we did it for about an hour or two maybe. And to see people react honestly as their character, knowing the ties that they had with each other, it got actually, you could see how that would actually happen in that gang mentality. It was crazy. We had to actually, I remember leaving the room and all of us kind of had to sit with each other, and there was some apologies exchanged, like, you know, words were spoken, and, you know, it got a little bit too real, but it was partially because we had just spent a month together creating those really tight bonds, and then all of a sudden they had to change in a very honest way. It was a really special experience. I love that show.
I'm speaking with Eva Tavares, who is Christine Daae in Phantom of the Opera, which opens tonight. A piece, I don't know why I keep calling it a piece, a show.
Sure.
That you've been part of for 6 years at this point.
I haven't. The show has been going
for six years.
Yeah. Okay. I've been here for, I guess, is it a year and 8 months?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. That seems more reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some people who have been with the show since the beginning.
Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Max Quinlan also is resident director and joined about the same time, as you said before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would love to keep talking all for another hour or so, but part of an actor's day is a little rest time.
Yes.
Taking care of yourself.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. And will you have like a company warm up or something?
We have a company meeting. Yeah. So, I mean, part of being with a touring show is that every single venue is going to be new to us. So we have a company meeting before our opening night, and we learn about the venue and kind of come together, and then we have to do sound check.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the sound will be different in every venue.
Yes, indeed.
We have new orchestra members who join us in every city, so we will be picking up new people and hearing them playing for the first time. So we kind of do a company warm-up in a sense.
Yeah.
And then we're one of the rare companies that offers a company warm-up before every show. A lot of shows, you know, your call time is a half hour prior to performance, and, you know, can be different depending on which part you're playing and how long it takes to prepare for that. Speaking specifically for something like The Phantom, your call time is not a half hour because
makeup.
There's a lot of makeup that gets done. So, yeah, but we actually offer a company warm-up that is led by one of our music directors and is a chance for everybody just to physically and vocally become present for the day and for the evening. And mm-hmm. And it's a really wonderful thing. Actually, in the UK, they have a required company warm-up before every show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And in the States, we obviously, it's not a requirement.
It's an option.
But it is an optional warm-up, and it's something because we are a UK-based show.
Right.
They wanted to instill that idea as a possibility, at least for everybody. And it's a wonderful chance for, you know, to say hello and to just mm-hmm. become present for the day and to leave your troubles at the door and and be prepared to deliver the best show we can.
Yeah. Well, even though we started off by saying that Phantom of the Opera is one of the biggest musicals in the world and has been around for over 30 years and is still running on Broadway, 31
mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. West End, too, yeah.
For thousands of people in West Michigan, this will be their very first time seeing such a famous show. It's a big deal.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. That's what's most thrilling to us, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact that we can bring this show to people that might not ever be able to see it anywhere else is, I think, probably the most important part of it.
Yeah.
Well, tickets and more information are available through Miller Auditorium. That's milleroditorium.com online or at 387-2300. Max Quinlan and Eva Tavares, thank you for previewing this touring edition of Phantom of the Opera with me.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you. Thanks.